Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
I'll probably hate it.
That's the third hour of an agenda-free Friday with Felger and Big Jim Murray in from Mass, Marshall Hook in our update studios. And joining us now in our Town Fair Tire studios here in Brighton, Dorchester. We moved to Dorchester last month. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe, formerly right next door. You want to get depressed, Bostonians? Drive by that Boston Globe building right now. That is a sad-looking thing.
It looks like the apocalypse.
That is what it looks like in the apocalypse. Exactly right, Murray. No question about it. A huge, abandoned institution.
What happened?
I thought that was your dream for the Globe, Felge.
What happened to the print industry, Gasper?
I wasn't one of those guys. I just wanted to beat Cafardo and Borges on a story. I'm not that guy. I don't want to see others go down in flames. That's not me. But anyway,
sure.
That Globe thing. Woof. Anyway, it's Chris Gasper. He still writes for the Globe. They've moved to someplace far less impressive than that. Agenda Free Friday is brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. I want to talk to you, my friend, about one Thomas Edward Brady, because that's your guy. And
I think there's a Patrick in there. I think there's Thomas Edward Patrick.
Is it really?
I could be.
He has two middle names?
I think he does.
Oh, wow. Okay, so anyway, he apparently has a bad back and a crappy contract. Your thoughts on both?
Wow, what a setup. the back thing, look, I mean, the guy's, you know, he's 41 years old. It didn't seem like he really... You may have heard about this or not. Didn't seem like he did a lot during the offseason.
No, really? I didn't know. We weren't paying attention.
Didn't do a lot of football. You're hunching down to take those snaps, Felge. It's a little tough. The contract thing, I don't know why people are so surprised by that. And, you know, I did your fan cred thing earlier in the week, and we talked about it. I said all of a sudden everybody...
Of which I'm an investor. I have to say that.
Everybody had gotten... Are you still in it? Can you still afford to invest? Last night was rough.
Yeah, I can. I think, well...
I can tell you with sincerity that most of the people in the press box were rooting firmly against you, including myself.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm surprised.
I actually turned at one point to somebody and said, man, I really hope Felge loses this game because it's the only thing keeping me interested. But
you said including who?
And what do you mean?
You said everyone in the press box was rooting against me, including...
Including myself.
Including yourself, including me. Yes, very good.
I know you'll be okay. But the contract thing, I'm surprised that people are a little surprised by this because the guy's history... is to take below market deals, right? When has he ever really pushed it to the limit with the team and forced their hand and really forced them to do a deal that they don't want to do?
I'm not surprised he took it. I'm surprised this was the end result.
Well, maybe what if it's that both sides now are more comfortable sort of going year to year?
So
this is a year to year scenario.
That surprises me. That surprises me. And it disappoints me. Because I think that if you're going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, who is going to be your guy for the next 10 years, you need more than a year-to-year commitment from your quarterback. And I thought that's what we were going to be getting. I thought that they'd, you know, hammer all these things out.
Chris, do you think there could have been an unspoken incentive in there, too? I mean, look, we have yet to hear what that is and what those incentives are anyway. But what I mean is, do you think this maybe means full access for Alex Guerrero again?
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, but there's no indication of any of that.
He's been around.
I mean, right? I say this. I think Guerrero is still a bigger piece than the contract. And I've thought that from the jump. You know, on the list of things to make Tom happy, I think Guerrero is up higher than getting money added to the contract. Doesn't mean he didn't want more money. Obviously, he did. But what's interesting about this is, here's the thing that's interesting about this to me. So if this isn't done yet, but let's say it goes through the way that we've heard about it. It's just these incentives. It's only for 2018. Well, if you go back to Gronk's contract last year, right, what did we hear all spring this year? You have to wait a full year before you can adjust that contract again.
That's right.
So that would mean if they just do this for this year, that there can't be anything that takes Tom Brady beyond the 2019 season until
midway
next
through
August.
Camp. Yeah. I agree. Totally.
And so that's the part to me where I look at it and say, okay, if he's willing to agree to that, is it a situation where even for him, he says, okay, I'm going to be evaluating this on a year-to-year basis. Because I'll be honest, I thought going into this this whole thing with the contract, I thought was more about getting more years than just money potentially tacked on to the years that already existed.
TV wants me to, I'm just going to say this, TV wants me to shift a little bit towards you, Chris. I got to tell you, our new setup, you're a little close as it is. And aren't you uncomfortable how close this is?
Like, I'll tell you, I still have not figured out how to work these mics. Like, I want this closer to me. I don't know how to do it. So, there's no microphone cover here.
I'm edging
the seat's too high.
I'm edging closer to you because I've been told to edge closer to you.
Okay.
Make it look like the Last Supper.
For no other reason than that. And, you know, it is significant, that year anniversary or that year marker to renegotiate, because when you're giving someone a lot of money, you want the full freedom to have, you know, first day of the league year, third day of the league year, give someone an option bonus there, a deferral payment there. Like, those are all sort of significant things that they even can't start the clock on paying him until next August, whatever, 10th. So that is significant. And so, like, Chris, I thought Tom would be getting a big upfront guaranteed payment that would necessitate them adding another year on the contract because they'd have to spread out that hit. That big bonus payment would bring his dollars up to where they should be, top five in the league. He'd get paid. They'd be able to spread out the hit. And that extra year would be a guarantee from Brady in good faith that I'm going to play those 3 years so you don't have dead money. And I've agreed with Giselle. We got one more year and that's it. 3 years. Here we go. That's what I thought we were going to get. I think that would have been the fair trade-off for Garoppolo. I've said this a million times. That, to me, is what surprises me. And what is really, it really sucks. You're trading Garoppolo just to go year to year with Brady? You know, Bedard wrote this at Boston Sports Journal. I want you just to weigh in if you agree or disagree. He said, even after this tweak, Brady's contract is still up after next season. I never thought I'd see them get this close to the end of Brady's contract, but that should tell you a lot. Namely, that Brady is not sure at this point how much longer he's going to play. And the Patriots don't want to be on the hook for dead money if he suddenly moves to Costa Rica full time. I'll stop. Do you think Brady's not sure how much he wants to play?
Yeah, I would agree with Greg on that. And it's not based on anything I've heard other than just sort of trying to analyze this contract. If you take this contract in sum with what we heard this offseason, the last episode of Tom versus Time, and the stuff about trying to find the conviction and all that, it certainly seems like he's in a situation where he maybe doesn't want extra years on the contract and it sort of wants to have the freedom to go year to year. What has changed for me over the years is, I'll be honest with you, Felgi, before the whole thing went down with Garoppolo and he got dealt, and it seemed like, you know, however that went down, whether somebody said to Bill he had to do it, or the way I feel about it is that subtly, the Crafts put their thumb on the scale for Tom. I always thought his career was going to end with another team. And now I look at it, and there's no way. I feel like he'd just retire. You know, it's the Patriots or bust. I always felt like he would go out the way he went in, which is that there'd be an incumbent franchise quarterback. That guy would get usurped. He'd have to go play somewhere else. That's what he did to Bledsoe. I thought that would be what would happen to Brady before the Garoppolo thing. Now, the way this is all set up, what's really the incentive if you're the Patriots, or even to some degree Tom, to sign beyond 2019? Because at that point, it's, even if you're the Patriots, you let him hit free agency. Is he going to go sign somewhere else?
No way.
No.
No way.
He's not going anywhere else at this point. So it seems like it's now a year-to-year thing, which is, that's not great. It's not great for the Patriots.
Do you think the organization, or specifically Robert Kraft, is having traitor's remorse about Garoppolo? Because Maz seemed to think so yesterday, and it felt informed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I were them, if the whole idea is to keep this train rolling, then probably they do. But that's a no-win scenario if you're the Kraft.
But doesn't the contract tell you it? Because the contract feels like a half measure. Like, they're not all in on Brady. You know, is the contract to sign? Again, this is what Bedard writes with Boston Sports Journal. $35 a year. And I don't like paying it. That's how cheap I am. Yet you people think I bet $10,000 on
football. Feel free to send me that passport and log on, Felgi.
He writes, this should also tell you that the drama of the offseason isn't over yet. It may have cooled, but neither side seems to be enamored with the other. We've all been waiting for a signal as to what Brady's future is and how his relationship is with the organization. And it looks like we just got our answer. And it's not great news. Like I would, you know, tend to agree with that. That, I don't know. Can you imagine the nerve of the Patriots and Brady negotiating? Just picture how this went. You know, Tom says, I'm making 15. The best guys make 30. All right. Like, I should be brought up closer. I'm making half of what the top guys make. Does that seem right? The Patriots say, we don't know. Okay. We'll give you $5 extra million. Tom says, five? I'm 15 below the biggest guys. No, we'll give you five. All right, fine, I'll take five. Oh, but wait. It's incentives. Can you imagine, like, if you're Brady and you get that from the team, like, what has got, what's your reaction to, like, excuse me? Wait, excuse me. I actually have to do something for you. There's incentives? Like, that's insulting, don't you think?
Well, I think it depends on who delivers that message, right? If it comes from Robert, don't you think that's a little different than if it comes from Bill Belichick?
I think
for Tom?
Of course, because he hates Bill like poison, but the message is still the message, which tells me, you know, again, which I'm trying to read the tea leaves there of how Kraft and Brady are. Like, that's just, if I'm Brady, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, but if you're that insulted, then why take it?
And that's my question for Tom. If I'm Tom, I'm like, keep your money.
But do you think there's a chance that, you know, again, it comes from Robert. He explains, okay, this is, we need to do this salary cap stuff.
Oh, stop.
It's year to year. Hold on. We need to do this. You know, I'm just taking the pitch that you give to him. You know, this is sort of the father-son talk that goes on with these negotiations. Because we know it's the two of them, right?
Yeah.
It's not like Nick
Caserio
and the agents. You know, it's the two of them. So that's the whole sort of thing that goes on there. There's some sort of pitch there. And then he also, let's say you're Robert and you also bring up, and oh, by the way, I did do you a huge favor by making sure you can go out on your terms because the other guy is gone and Brian Hoyer's your backup now, not Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm sure Kraft plays that
card. You don't think that favor came up again?
No question. Your loyalty's in San Francisco. Yes, definitely. It's just not what I was expecting. I mean, not by a long shot. I just was not expecting. And I don't think...
I wasn't either, Felgie, but when you really look back at it, like, I think that you and I were both sort of wrong. Like, look at the history of the guy with the contract. When has he ever pushed them? And the funny thing now is he had more leverage than ever, and this is what he got. I mean, that just tells you he's just not wired to do it.
Oh, he's definitely not. It's not surprising that he took it, like, because again, he's taken it the whole time. But that this is just the end result. I was hoping for more, and now there's no. So now he's year to year. You still don't have a quarterback. Like they had the whole thing just.
Well, doesn't it feel like the whole thing's year to year, though? It doesn't feel like Bill's year to year.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like, I mean, the whole thing feels kind of precarious right now. I still maintain that Josh McDaniels is back because, you know, they if it gets to a situation where Bill feels like, you know what, I've had enough of this. Like, you guys are interfering too much on the football stuff. I'm done. You know, I'm out. That they can just slide Josh in and Tom's not going to say, like, okay, I'm not breaking in a new coach. I'm done. I'm retiring. It's like, okay, it's Josh. It's fine. I'll give you another year. I'm good. I mean, I still feel like that's why Josh is still here.
Of course, he's getting the job. His name's now mud in NFL circles. His agent fired him. He's never going to get a head coaching job anywhere else in the league. It's here. He's the next guy.
All right, so that's the Brady stuff. We have all the game stuff from last night with Gasper and your phones on an agenda-free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com to you right after this.
Felger and Mads. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mads.
I love it.
You were right, Mads.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Bill, I know Tom hasn't played in this first preseason game in the past, but just curious what went into the decision to go with Hoyer for the start and not have Tom take some reps tonight?
What? I'm sorry.
What went into the decision for Tom not to take any snaps tonight?
Yeah, you know, some players played, some players didn't. So... we tried to play people who we wanted to take a look at and give some reps to.
Good opportunity
for Brian Hoyer to get an extended look and work with the offense.
I mean, all the guys that had an opportunity to play, I mean, they're all good opportunities.
Hey, Bill, I just wanted to follow up on a Jim McBride report that Tom Brady was dealing with a bit of a sore back and that was limiting his reps. Do you have any further information on that?
No, sorry, Tom, I don't.
I trust Jim McBride's reporting on that. I trust, you know, Bedard.
I do too.
Bedard had it for, oh, not yet, but, you know, he alluded to it. And Bedard does not pull things out of his ample bosom, his ample tuchus. So he usually hears things, and so...
No, sorry, Tom, I don't.
No, sorry, thanks. Right.
Bill's been really congenial this year, like really easy to deal with. He's been in a good mood.
It's
like,
chill
the
Bill.
Time.
It's chill Bill.
Yeah.
It's the new Bill.
Really, I mean, he has very polite, easy to deal with. He's been great.
Look, no, sorry, Tom, I don't.
Sorry, Chris, you're looking very dapper.
So, I mean, the quote unquote injury doesn't concern you, does it?
No, not really. But I mean, still, I mean, look, you guys know I'm a big Brady backer.
No,
you know, I think you guys might say Bobo. I disagree with that. But the reality is, look, if you're doing all the stuff that he is doing, the whole pliability stuff and all the TB2, aren't you supposed to avoid these injuries?
Oh, it's a bad-sounding injury for his brand.
And so when you have something like that, and again, if 41 years old, we're going to hear that a million times this year, I know it, but 41 years old, back, bulky back, I mean, you know, that does concern me. I'm sorry.
It's an old man injury. It doesn't concern me in the here and now in that I saw him practice the day before. I mean, not a lot, but he was out there throwing, and he stood on the sidelines for 3 hours in those pads last night. So if he's got a really bad back, they're not having him do those things.
Yeah, it's not debilitating, but if this is a nagging thing, do you think he's going to have any zip on his deep ball?
But how bad is it going to feel when he gets hit?
Here's what I don't like.
No one's touched him.
I don't like the trend. I don't like the trend line. You know, he has a totally different spring. He puts in less time in the spring. He spends no time with the team in the spring. He gets to the camp and he looks rusty, and now his back is sore and he's missing a game that he probably would have played if he was healthy. Let's face it, a lot of starters played last night. He probably would have been out there. And so it's like he's got a, you know, did nothing in the spring, slow start to the summer, slow start to the preseason. Does a slow start bleed into the regular season? Does he take a hit that he normally wouldn't hit because he's not totally dialed in, like just sort of like the whole trend? That's what would concern me. You know, if that's a real game he's playing last night, of course he is. He's probably playing well. But, you know, what's the trend of the whole thing? All right, I promise. To your phones here with Chris Gasper. Levi in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Levi.
So the wide receivers, we need a good wide receiver. There's three names I'm going to throw out there. DeSean Jackson from Tampa Bay. Jeremy Maclin, who's a free agent. And Josh Gordon from the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. I'm surprised you didn't say Dez Bryant. Your thoughts on the receiver group and what? DeSean Jackson's still out there.
No, I think he was saying, you know, he's with
trade.
Tampa. Yeah, as a trade. There was nothing encouraging to me from that receiving group last night. You know, Devin Lucien is a nice story, but I mean, he's not someone that's going to make a real difference for them. It was only two targets to Hogan, but I think Hogan's the guy who's going to be asked to step up here when Edelman misses these first four games. And I think one of the things that flew under the radar last year, primarily because Hogan got hurt, was that when Edelman went down with that ACL last year, it's not like Hogan took a real jump in production. And the opportunities were there for him. And so they need him to be able to do that this time. And I look at those two passes last night. It's the first preseason game. It's not a large enough sample size. But you would like to see from the guy who right now is your presumptive number one receiver a little more separation playing against guys that are backup type players.
You a Cordell Patterson guy?
Me?
Yes.
No.
Me neither.
I'm not. I just don't think the precision is there with the routes. I
mean, he doesn't run routes, exactly.
He made the nice thing where he posted the guy up and tipped the ball to himself, but it's like, that's what he does.
He didn't run a route.
He'll be a gadget player in this offense. And he's barely, if at all, worked with Brady. Like, look, this has been the biggest concern for me going into this season. And the thing is, again, without Danny Amendola, without Edelman for the first month, who's going to be the guy that's the gotta have it, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11? Brady can look at him and trust him, and that guy's going to get open and make that catch. And I don't see who the hell it is on this roster.
Cam and Taunton, thought of the day.
Mike, look, I love you. I love the show. It's a great show. You've had a lot of dumb takes on this show. LeBron James is cooked. He's on the decline. He comes back from 3-1 down to beat the Warriors the day after.
We don't have to go over them. Let's just say generic. They've had a lot of bad takes. Okay, go ahead.
The Jets have passed you, but the one that absolutely takes the cake, Mike, absolutely, the Patriots will go 10-6 and win the division with Brian Hoyer. Mike, did you watch that guy last night?
Preach, Cam.
He is a bum. He does not belong on the NFL. I'd rather have that Hogan kid on my team than him.
No. That Redskins bum. Hogan?
No, he's terrible.
Oh, my God. Did I get Hoganed last night?
I'd rather have Colt McCoy.
I took a Hogan right across the kisser last night. That kid. That guy should be cut yesterday. They win the division with Brian Hoyer. They win the division. 16 games with Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer took a team to the playoffs.
Thank you. He took the Browns?
The Texans.
The Texans.
And then he proceeded to have a Jake DeLome.
Who cares?
He took
them to the playoffs.
In a bad division.
What's this division?
AFC? Are you kidding me?
That AFC South was not as competitive, using quotes.
Jim.
The Bills just made the playoffs.
Jim, this is the worst division. They have two rookie quarterbacks in this division this year. And then the Dolphins.
Oh, that AFC South that year was wretched. They got in at 9-7.
Your thoughts on Brian Hoyer?
I think it's difficult to sort of judge him there with the receivers. I mean, you know, he's a serviceable backup. They got it going more, you know, in the second half. Look, I think here's the problem. People are used to the backup being Jimmy Garoppolo,
right,
who was the second best quarterback in the AFC East,
right?
Right, and it wasn't even close. So, you know, this is what backup quarterbacks look up. He look like he is a serviceable backup quarterback. He's fine.
I think you're in good shape. I don't think he's a bad option at all.
No internal clock. He was even getting called up by Matt Chatham, who has nothing bad to say about any player on that roster in that first half. Get rid of it, stupid.
Note, I haven't said that he was good. But I think
6-10 with him
at
spot,
he doesn't need to be.
Also, Josh, just what Josh did with Castle, like, you know, if they had to get to 9-7, 10-6, I think they could do it.
Me too. They throw it sideways 25. Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
Mike and Woburn, what do you got, kid?
Is this a Sports Hub pick of the day line? I want my guaranteed winner, please.
Jackass.
In the Felger history of terrible ideas. The Mac Bledsoe interview, singing Madonna on live on air when he thought he was off the air. Betting on preseason games, one of the most satisfyingly worst of your career, Mike. Awesome. I literally woke up my house on that strip sack fumble return last night. It was open celebrations in the street. It was like the Ewok party at the end of Return of the Jedi.
It was so painful.
Open jubilation.
So painful.
Mike's text to me at 10:08 p.m. I'm watching the fourth quarter of a Patriots preseason game solely to see Felger lose money. I really need to reassess my life priorities.
It was absolutely glorious. And by the way, I've heard you talk about the reasons why you quit golf. You have that sneaky degenerate streak in you that you've worked hard to suppress. I think there is a $10,000 hole in your bank account somewhere, and that last segment was the greatest attempt at wood repair since Minwax. I think that you have lost a certain amount of money, and I will be gladly starting the startup for the Send Emma to New England Tractor Trailer School.
All of a sudden, your kids are going to DeVry.
There are some good student loan programs out there. That's all I'll say. It's not. There's no shame in that, Emma. Here's Darnell and Quincy. Hi, Darnell. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So yesterday, Felger, I looked up that Butch Johnson clip that you told us to look up.
Thank you.
The call yesterday.
Yep.
That is a catch these days. I can't watch football anymore.
Thank you.
That is insane. If I remember correctly, did Jim say that he agrees that should be a catch?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane, Jim. Come on, man. He had the ball for half a second.
Yep, but his elbow actually makes contact with the ground as he rolls into the end zone. And sure, it was a half second, but that's good enough for me. And I said it off the air mostly to you and Maz yesterday, Mike. If they're going to take the violence away from my precious NFL, in which they have with each passing year, and now you can't even hit the quarterbacks anymore. You see that with that Derek Rivers penalty last night. Then at least make it more entertaining. So you know what? Open it up. If that does, you're going to be mad that that's a catch. Fine. Catch. Make it a catch. Let's see it. Let's see a 48-47 game. If you're not going to make it violent anymore, at least make it entertaining.
Chris, thoughts on the rules and how they were called last night?
I mean, they didn't really come into play, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the most crushing hit was Ryan Lewis on Trey Quinn, and that was totally legal. So I was actually a little disappointed. I kind of wanted to see one to see how they would call it. You know, the catch thing, I'm okay. I haven't seen the particular catch you guys are referring to. I'll go look it up. But if that's the trade-off for stuff like Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson not being a catch, I'll take it. Because to me, it's more outrageous and more of an injustice when things that you look at with the human eye and you say, that's a catch. Dez Bryant, you know, stumbling three steps, hits the ground, not a catch. Calvin Johnson has the ball, like uses it to get back up, not a catch. If we go the other way, I'm fine with it. If that's what we have to do to make sure that things that should be obvious catches are obvious catches, I'll live with it.
Two open lines at 617-779-0985. Grab them. We're back with you on Agenda Free Friday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
They're not going to run another play, and that'll do it. The Patriots come all the way back from a 17-0 deficit and come up with a 26-17 victory as Bill Belichick and Jay Gruden come out to shake hands at midfield as the Patriots win their first preseason game to go to 1-0 in play.
So the details are in on Tom Brady's contract. That's what happened last night. Dan Roach with a call here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. I'm just doing some compilations here quickly because, again, the details are in on Tom Brady's incentives. And I am blown away how awful this deal is.
It's even worse than we thought.
It is worse. I said, all right, $5 million in incentives. And what are the incentives? Breathing. You know, if it's any harder than him opening the front door to get that $5 million, that is a shame. Listen to this. This is something you would give a...
This is you give it Case Keenum.
A second year unproven guy who needs to show you that he's this kind of quarterback to get the money. Not the greatest effing quarterback of all time, who's coming off an MVP season. This is a joke. According to Albert Breer, per source, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady's revised deal has 5 $1 million triggers for 2018. So he gets $1 million for each of these. Top five in quarterback rating. He was third last year, 104.7. Top five in completion percentage. He was fifth last year in completion percentage. Top five in yards per attempt. He was fifth last year. Top five in touchdown passes. He was third last season at 32. And top five in passing yards. He was number one last year with 4,500 yards. Then he says each incentive becomes $2 million each if Pats win the Super Bowl, but capped at $5 million. Huh, Bert? What? And there's even a minimum. He has to have a minimum of 224 attempts and 70% play time. Can you believe they're dinking around with attempts and play time percentages with Tom Brady? What are you doing?
They're acting as if he was a troubled quarterback. Like, this is something you would put in front of Johnny Manziel or Jamarcus Russell. Like,
talk about nickel and diming. And Brady, oh, by the way, taking it. I can't believe this. Oh, by the way, he's not even going to hit these incentives. If he was fifth last year in yards per attempt, you tell me how that's going to get better without Julian Edelman for a month. And then when Edelman comes back, he's with a torn knee and off of steroids, that crappy,
Philip Dorsett
receiving core that he's got outside of Edelman, a new left tackle, etc. Maybe they're going to run the ball more, throw those running back. You tell me how he was fifth last year in completion percentage and fifth last year in yards per attempt. How's he going to be any better given these circumstances? He was third in touchdown passes, third in quarterback rating. There's no guarantee he hits these.
My favorite thing is if he hit all five and they won the Super Bowl, that would theoretically be worth $10 million, except the $5 million cap, they'd be like, listen, great season, but you know what? Sorry.
You get nothing for the Super Bowl.
That's the part that I don't get. Why does it need to be capped at $5 million? I mean, they're incentives. Like, you either earn them or you don't. So if they win the Super Bowl and he hits all five, then you earn the $10 million.
No.
Well, how is it? It's like, no, it's capped. It's just capped at five. I don't really understand why he would accept this.
I am stunned.
Unless somebody comes to him and says, you know, look, we already paid you back in another way. Garoppolo's gone.
So you know what this is? This is the only way I can read this. This is Jimmy Garoppolo on paper. In other words, this is something to light a fire under Brady's ass. You know, they obviously believe in him, but I think that they don't think he has the motivation that he has in the past based on everything that he said this offseason. Garoppolo's gone, to push him. He doesn't have to worry about losing his job. So you know what? Go out and prove it. You want this extra money, you have to get top five in QB rating, top five in completion percentage, top five in yards attempt, top five in TD passes, top five in passing yards.
You said before, I heard you say yesterday, maybe it was on the pregame show, that you want to know whether these are likely to be earned or not likely to be earned.
Yeah.
Because that depends whether it goes on this year's cap or next year's. Do you know what the definition of likely or not likely is?
No, not in a manner where I could define it. What is it?
It's whether you did it the year before. So if you did it the year before and it's in this contract, it's likely to be earned. If you didn't do it the year before, so if they had said...
So these are all likely to be earned then.
So these are all likely to be earned. But the whole thing of not like... It's like, what did Tom Brady not do last year? Like, well, how could it possibly be a not likely to be earned?
Win the Super Bowl.
There's nothing he didn't do other than win the effing Super Bowl. Okay, he was, you know, MVP, huge stats across the board. They're all going to be likely to be earned because he's done everything every year. And you're still doing this? And he's taking it? Do you know Drew Brees, who's basically the same age and has accomplished about one-tenth of what Brady's accomplished, is on a two-year $50 million contract. He gets $25 million each of the next 2 years. Roughly, it's $27 million guaranteed. He got $10 million to sign. and that's Drew Brees, and they're making Tom Brady be top five in completion percentage to pick up a million? Like, what am I missing here?
Well, the only thing I can think of just off the top of my head, and we're all just speculating here, but is this one where they sort of had to go halfway between Tom and Bill? Like I look at this contract and I'm like,
no, that's
I'm like, this is a Bill Belichick special.
No question.
Like, you're going to earn this money. I'm not giving you anything. You already signed a contract. And so if you're Kraft and you already alienated Bill last year and Brady's your boy, right? But you got to keep them both happy. You do something like this, right?
It's like,
and then you convince Tom to take it.
This is what you give to Corey Dillon coming here, where he has to have a good year to rehab his image and play well and earn it to get his money. This is what you give Randy Moss the first year here to prove that you can stay out on the field and be productive. This is what you give Rob Gronkowski coming off a hugely injury-addled year where he's not on the field. He's got to prove he can stay on the field to earn his money. This deal makes sense for a lot of people. This deal should be within 30 miles of Tom Brady.
But doesn't this deal say, you just mentioned Gronkowski too, doesn't this deal say, and this sort of goes back to Bill, nobody's bigger than the team, this is how we do business, deal with it.
Yes.
Why accept it?
I mean, it's exactly what it says, Chris, which is quite a switch after you just traded Garoppolo. Like, this is, I just thought they'd trade Garoppolo, go all in on Brady, they'd all be on the same page, and it's just...
Unless Brady wants, like, this is why I say this is Garoppolo on paper, unless Brady wants the motivation of this...
Why does Brady need this for motivation?
Why to stick it to Bill? Oh, you don't think I can get top five in QB rating, and so on and so forth, you know, top five in touchdown passes, then I'm going to prove to you I can, so I'm going to accept this crap deal. Otherwise, I'd crumple it up and throw it off his face. Take this, chill, Bill.
Tom Brady's better off betting on preseason games. I'm telling you. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chill Belichick.
No. Days off, man.
Chill Belichick.
Summertime and the living's easy. Brady's acting like a diva who won't work with me. So I'm gonna take Linda to Nantucket and chill while little Josh learns to run the team. Me and Dombrowski will sit up in the suite and then cruise on Henry's yacht in the harbor.
Treats me like, oh man, how I miss Jimmy G. I send him some text to let him know what he means to me. Oh, take this deal, you old whiny guy. Your fat back is because you had too many fries. This wide receiver group is a pile. You can go play with yourself. So go out there and show me that you're still the best. Yeah. Chill Belichick, everyone. Hey, Chris, how you doing? Looking good there. I'm now chill. Nice to the reporters. You been shopping at Barney's lately? You're well-dressed. You're always so kind. Any questions for me?
Love it. Little live action there from Murray on his own bit. How do you explain Belichick's camp so far and how he's treated Brady and Gronkowski? You have a thought on that, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned it again. I think Mike Gianni asked the question about the idea of how deep they play every year. And normally that's the type of thing he'd shoot down. But he sort of, once again, lent credence to the fact that these deep playoff runs going to the Super Bowl, that plays into it. Personally, I think this is just my theory that this is a situation where veteran players hate training camp. He knows that. If he's nice to these guys now, when he really needs to crack the whip, they'll listen. They won't tune him out. He can get a little bit of goodwill back from last year and the way the season ended with the Butler thing by easing up on these guys. And we've often heard from him before, Felgie, that they look at the first four games of the season as an extension of the preseason anyway. So it's not like he's really giving up that much. If you're him.
So he is playing nice to the players.
Seems like he is.
And Brady and Gronkowski especially.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are the two guys who complain the most, right? So, Tom, your contract stinks, but here's this day off.
So why now? Do you think that this is because they've played too much football and gone to the Super Bowl 2 out of the last 3 years? Or is he sick of hearing it from the likes of Lane Johnson or the Eagles?
I don't think he cares what Lane Johnson thinks.
And he shouldn't.
I think he cares more about his own players. And it's an easy way to get a little bit of credit with the players, a little bit of goodwill with the players by not making them grind through a time of year that they all hate and that they just want to get through. And that doesn't have a real payoff, so that when you need them to grind, when you need to be the bad guy during a time of the year when it will actually have a payoff, they'll listen. They're not going to sort of fight back. No one's going to bring up Malcolm Butler. There won't be ill feelings, that whole deal.
Okay, let's wrap it up with some phone calls here for Chris Gasper. I want his thoughts on the Red Sox. Why don't we do that with Tony and Stoneham? Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how you doing? Felger, I got to tell you something. I try to help you out. I had a GoFundMe for you, but I only got $1.380 so far.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to do very well with that, Tony.
I want to thank you. When you told me you told us who you're betting last night, I bet the other side. You cannot bet with feelings. You got to bet with your mind. Anyway, the Red Sox guaranteed World Series winner. This is the 100th year since they won in 1918. Then they went 86 years. The fear is, what's going to happen after this year?
Okay, so...
And nobody is going to beat this team 4 out of 7 or 3 out of 5.
Do you agree with that, Chris, that they're odds on? You know, you as confident as Tony and Stoneham there?
No, I'm not. I mean, it's sort of... They have a feel. And I mean, because he just said you don't bet with feelings, right?
Yeah.
So I was at that Sunday night game against the Yankees, and I wrote after... I mean, it has that feel of sort of like Team of Destiny. You know, 2013, you're winning games. You have no business winning. You can tell that they sort of believe they're going to win every game. And I do buy into the psychology of that, you know, when a team starts to really believe a group of guys. But that's feelings. When you look at it strictly from an analytical standpoint, okay, so it's game 4 of the ALDS, and you have a 4-3 lead in the 8th inning. Who are you giving the ball to?
Spin the wheel of gutless.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's the problem to me. I still feel there's a fatal flaw in the team.
And, last night, just picking up on that, one of the reasons I'm more confident in the Sox than these guys is that I expect this to be a year for Rick Porcello to really come through in the postseason, because I just think he's got a certain edge to him, an experience level, and I don't know why I feel like he should be good when it matters. And then, a game like last night, and that obviously last night didn't matter. The Yankee game mattered. But, maybe I'm hitching my wagon to a guy that just doesn't have the stuff. That's what Maz would tell me. He just doesn't have the stuff for you to be that confident in him. Who should be the guy that goes to the bullpen? Who should be the guy that goes to the 8th inning, Chris?
The 8th on this team right now? Oh, man, I don't know. Maybe Eduardo Rodriguez when he comes back? I mean, I don't think they have that guy. And Thornburg, if he can get it together. I mean, to me, the Matt Barnes, 8th inning is load the bases and strike out the side. And at some point, that's going to come back to bite you. Like, you're not going to be able to get away with that. So I don't think they have that guy. And I think what they're doing, and I've said this before, is I think actually Dombrowski sort of passed the buck here to Cora, which to me is unfair. Rookie manager, you figure it out. You piece it together in these playoff games.
Well, that's their plan. Maybe Houston had a bad bullpen last year. Really, and they had a bad closer. Never mind the bullpen. The Sox at least have a closer who's listing, but they have a guy. Houston didn't even really have a guy, and Cora was there when Hinch moved all those starters to the back. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do.
I think that's the plan too. I agree, but I think that's it's really easy for that to backfire. And it makes the manager look bad, right?
Yeah.
And the manager looks bad at that point. Or you pick the wrong guy instead of having it set up where you have guys that you can go to with certitude in that spot, which they don't have.
Shane on the Cape on Tom Brady. Hi, Shane.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to... I was thinking briefly, is Tom's ego of always ending as a Patriot and just wanting to be in the Hall of Fame as a Patriot. Do you think Robert Kraft talked with Brady, say, hey, we'll get rid of Jimmy. We'll talk about the contract later, but I can't sit here and play Bill Belichick and you. So
I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, but I don't agree that in terms of someone going into the Hall of Fame as a Patriot, that's more important to the Patriots than it is to Brady. Or it should be. I mean, he's either way going to be considered a Patriot, whether he ends up somewhere else or not. And he's not going to end up anywhere else. But I think I think Brady was prepared to go play somewhere else just because he's seen everyone else do it. And his boyhood legends.
Yeah.
You know, Montana did it, Favre did it, a lot of guys do it. And I think Brady in the back of his mind felt it was always a possibility and had steeled himself for that possibility. I don't think Kraft was ever prepared to let Tom Brady play for another team. So I think that's that equation, you're talking about the ego equation or that connection, it's more important to Kraft than it was to Brady.
Well, especially in light of the Deflategate stuff.
No question.
And that book that just recently came out, and we find out that Brady was pissed actually at Kraft. It was never going to happen. You know, he felt like, you know, Robert was kind of at his back against the wall. He was never going to, like, let Brady down again after what happened with that. And he felt like that the whole thing was thrown into his lap.
We've got Chad in Hampton Beach. Hi, Chad.
Yep, Chad in Hampton Beach. How are you doing, guys?
Good.
So I got a Brady take. It's kind of aimed towards Jim. I've been a Patriots fan my whole life, and I think that Tom Brady has evolved into TB12 in a sense that Tom Brady, who I grew up and love, obviously idolized, has taken a turn in some kind of weird, kind of debaggery type stuff. That, like, this whole company thing, this whole TB12 thing, real turnoff, man. I don't want this as part of his legacy, and I think it's getting worse and worse, and I wish he would just cool off and be the old Tom Brady that we grew up with.
Okay. I mean, I think fans feel that way. I'll tell you this. When he goes to the Hall of Fame in 5 years after he's done, no one's going to mention it. I don't think.
Not unless it's a wildly successful business.
Yeah. I just, even still, I don't think I
the relationship with Tony Robbins a couple of summers ago, all of that stuff. Look, I've said now for a while, Tom Brady, the person off the field, is as unrelatable a weirdo as he's ever been, and it feels like it's getting worse by the day. The player, I'll never say anything bad about him.
But I don't think that all that weirdness is going to follow him. I don't.
I don't either.
I mean, look, Michael Jordan is far worse than this. I mean, Michael Jordan is a, you know, from everything that you hear, a
mostly detestable
gambler, you know, degenerate, like some real issues there. And no one mentions it. And he's a, you know, he's a company spokesman, you know,
he owns a team.
I mean,
he's an NBA owner.
And all that's ever mentioned is him being the greatest. So I don't think any of that. So it's not going to, does even follow, maybe it does follow Lawrence Taylor. But, you know,
yeah, if you do something that's so vile, you're not going to be able to shake that.
I don't think all this stuff we're talking about now, which is real and I think is interesting and is impactful to the team now, when he goes into the Hall of Fame 5 years after he's done, it's not even going to be mentioned. I don't think. Gasper, do we have a Gasper and Murray extravaganza tomorrow?
We do not.
What?
There's a Jim Murray extravaganza. Yep.
Where are you?
Flying solo for me.
Yeah, I will be visiting my in-laws.
Wouldn't you rather be doing that?
No, I like my in-laws. I do.
Yes, okay. So thanks for coming in, Chris. We appreciate it.
Good to see you guys.
We have an hour to go, folks. Just your phones here on Agenda Free Friday. Everything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to, you know the drill. Two open lines. Load them up. I promise, right to you after Hook's 90-second update.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.